This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
You've got a great disturbance in the Force.
This great adventure. In secret. Jedi craves not these things.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Go switch off!
This is the 2BT podcast. Daddy and Dave are awesome!
This is Michael, and you're about to listen to an episode of 2BT that was recorded a while back, so I just want to throw up a little bit of a warning.
Oh. Slapping computer?
Yeah, Lila. Say hello, Delilah.
Hello, Delilah.
Me and Delilah are sitting here. And about to put out our third recorded episode. This actually is probably our seventh, but we did this back on Thanksgiving, and we were supposed to get together, Dave and Steve and I, supposed to get together tonight and do another episode. Dave and I went to see The Last Jedi again yesterday, and we were going to go in pretty good detail on some things we caught the third and fourth time for him. And Lila's sitting here with me. I'm home on New Year's Eve with my two girls and a niece. And we were supposed to be doing all kinds of good stuff tonight. We were going to have a New Year's Eve party, but weather kind of made it to where I need to stay home with the girls. So, this is an older episode. It's dated. There are a lot of things. We're still talking about the lead up to The Last Jedi. And, of course, we're far past that, but maybe you can get some humor and joke at our expense of things we got wrong or maybe even some things we got right. But it's full of some other things that we were talking about. We talked about in great detail about lots of random things that kind of amuse us and entertain us, and a little bit dark. We get into some Punisher. We talk some Patrick Rothfuss books and a lot of other things. We're not always going to be doing Star Wars. We've got plans to start playing D&D. No, we're not experts on Dungeons & Dragons. It's something we've loved since we were kids. We played when we were kids. We're going to kind of create our own little live play episodes that in the near future. We've got some Raiders of the Lost Ark talk coming up, G.I. Joe. I'd still like to get in and talk a little bit about some Valiant comics that I love and why I love them. But as for right now, this is just our New Year's Eve episode. Oh, no, it's our New Year's Day episode. We want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. Hope everybody's safe. And we want to thank everybody for listening. And enjoy the show.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Anybody ever make that?
Grab me some water real fast.
Yes. Yeah, I'll let you move it.
That guy has a drink or I'll get parched.
Yeah.
Or cough, start coughing.
Y'all need water or anything?
No, I got my doctor.
Are these the same stands or that?
They're the same stands. They're just adjustable. So
okay.
Yeah.
I've been having. Yeah, I don't remember having to not have to lean over.
How demented would it be if he'd have drawn this all skulls? Yoda lives on a planet of skulls.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was first when I looked at it.
It would have been twisted. Man, I figured out the best way to do a turkey.
Oh, yeah?
Smoke it.
I've smoked mine. I fried mine Thursday. I like smoked. Dude, that fried came out amazing.
I'd never smoked a turkey before.
You know?
It was...
pretty good.
Oh, God. It was so good.
Smoke it breast down?
No.
Yeah?
I didn't.
Try that next time.
Really?
All the fat and everything will drain through the meat
and the breast.
When you cut it, the breast...
Do you inject? Juicy.
Yes.
Okay, what... that kind they have, what's it called?
Tony Sacharain's Creole butter injection.
Yeah, that's what we use.
Yep.
Oh, it's so good.
Yep.
Turkey gets dry.
Yes, it does. I hear you. Yeah, next time smoke it, try it breast side down while you're smoking. And then the breast will lay in all the drippings and everything if you have a full pan in a full pan. And it'll keep all the juice inside the breast and help it stay real moist.
Yeah. Did your shower curtain... I guess I didn't notice it last week when I...
Oh, yeah.
Your shower curtain's amazing. I'm like, how am I going to trick my wife into letting me have this?
Right. Did you see the trash can?
No.
Trash can.
Every time I walk in your house, you're so overwhelming. Stuff I can't
do something. That trash can as matches it. I got it at Target, man. And really? If you look at the little hangers, the hangers are Imperial logos and Rebel Alliance logos. I got those at Walmart, but they match. I mean, they're even the same color as the blasted shower curtain or whatever. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's Rebel Alliance red.
There's one thing I did see that I really, really, really want to get from my hallway. And it's a runner, one of those rugs, runners or whatever. But it's the opening crawl of A New Hope.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, dude, that would be awesome. Unfortunately, it would be littered with dog hair if I put it in my actual hallway.
You could laminate it.
Yeah, that's possible.
Then you'd slip and fall.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever thought
it's totally worth it?
They made a whole movie off of basically one paragraph of the crawl of A New Hope, Rogue One, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever thought about how many more movies are just buried in the crawls?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how many more movies are there?
Well,
you got a 2 hour and so many minute movie out of one small paragraph. Rebels striking from a hidden base, steal the plans to the Death Star, or something like that.
Just expand on it. Mm-hmm. And then from that, you can go to something else.
That's what I wish that they would do with the standalones. I wish that they would be between. The one I would like to see most is between Empire and A New Hope. That would be awesome because the Rebels are on the run and the Imperials keep attacking them. Finally, they get separation and hide out on Hoth.
The Battle of Ord and Mandel.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Dantooine.
All
the places they've talked about.
Lando's Battle of Tanab.
Yeah.
I guess they heard about the little maneuver I pulled on the Battle of Tanab.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, I had to get a little drink of water, man. My sinuses are going haywire, man. Like,
well, the worst. Been so nuts.
Oh, dude.
It's like second spring right now.
Well, I went out. What was it? Thanksgiving night. Buddy of mine, a real good buddy of mine, his birthday was actually Thanksgiving Day. And so we went out Thursday night to this bar there in Denton called Eastside. It's like really, really cool. It's got lots and lots and lots of picnic tables and all like that. But of course, it was like 40, 30 something degrees at night, even though it was like 60 something that afternoon. And sat out there in a sweatshirt and a pair of shorts because it was 60-something in the afternoon, so I'm not wearing jeans of it unless I just absolutely positively have to. So, yeah, it's glorious. But anyways, yeah, man.
It is what it is.
I'll go ahead and do our little intro real fast. Hey, everybody, and welcome to 2BT All in the Family. I think that should just be the name, just 2BT All in the Family. All as one. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I like it.
I've got another person doing a design for us. That we're kind of basing on the Return of the Jedi movie emblem or whatever. So it'll say 2BT above it, and then the little has a little border around it, and it'll say All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I was like,
love that.
Or in the family. I don't know. Which kind of makes me realize. I think I need to check my text messages because I'm pretty sure I told her All in the Family, not All in. Oh, it doesn't matter. Like, it's all one thing.
Black marker.
Yeah, we'll just put
hard work.
Little one line through it. Put your initials and then put DA.
Yeah, right. Oh man. So how was everybody's holiday? We're officially recording after Thanksgiving. If you didn't realize what I was talking about,
after. So this will probably come out at before or after Christmas. So we're kind of. If you haven't figured out future people, we are. If you've lasted the three episodes with us, a lot of these are recorded a lot earlier than we're getting put out.
Yeah. Like I said, we're waiting on design and all like that good stuff. So, anyways, while we're at it, let's go ahead and do official intros. I totally forgot about that whenever I did the intro just a second ago. I'm Dave.
I'm Dave.
I'm Dave.
I'm Michael.
We've got three names.
I'm Steve.
Yeah.
There's only one Dave.
I'm tired. I'm just goofy. I'm sorry.
I know. It's all right. I've
been functioning on. I mean, it's enough sleep, but it's just not enough sleep for every night of the week for some other reason or other. It's been late nights, early mornings.
I am normally a 5 to 6 hour a day sleeper. I went to bed last night at 11:15. My eyes did not open and my body did not move till 9:30 this morning.
You needed it.
That's like me, like, you know, Mr. Self-employed, lives alone with his dog. Mm-hmm. You know how wild my night was last night? I played video games till about 9 o'clock, and then after that I decided I was going to watch a movie, and before I even chose the movie to watch off Amazon Prime, I fell asleep on my couch. Next thing I know, I woke up, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, yeah. So I milled around, like, just fiddle-farted
That's
around
until
about,
That's
like,
rough.
2 o'clock, and then I laid down in bed. So
what were you going to watch?
I don't know. I was just looking for something. I was just, it's kind of like one of those things of like, what was I in the mood for? I wasn't in the mood to like really rent anything. So I thought about like, I've been wanting to see that new Planet of the Apes movie. Right. War for Planet of the Apes.
If you haven't watched the other ones though, don't, yeah. I wouldn't recommend watching it till you watch them just for the backstory because they really build up the characters well. Have you seen them, right?
Yeah, I've seen the first two. Is that all there is?
There's three now.
Yeah, I haven't seen the third one. I've seen the first two.
I think the first one's... I can't remember the first one. I think the second one's like Rise of Planet of the Apes, and then the third one's like War for Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
I want to see them all. I know James Franco, I think, is in the first one. I really like that dude a lot, man. Like, as a comedic actor, I haven't really seen him in anything like super serious yet or anything like that.
Have you seen The Dictator?
Yeah.
Not The Dictator. What is it? Where they go to North Korea and meet Kim?
No, I never saw that. The one that they hacked Sony over.
It's hilarious. It was on Netflix there for a little while. Just as soon as it came out, it
Seth
was on
Rogen.
Netflix.
Yeah, and it's still on
Seth
Netflix.
Rogen and James Franco. It was hilarious.
I haven't seen that. I watched three things. I watched the animated Lord of the Rings earlier this week.
Oh,
man. I was watching that, and I was like, well, that's a shot that Peter Jackson stole. Peter Jackson stole. Of course, the whole story goes back to Tolkien, but just the way it's literally set up, like when Gollum loses the ring, Bilbo takes it, and he's going off through the rock. Just like in the animated version. Yep. That's how they did it. And then Rogue One. And then last night, the girls threw in Super 8.
Oh, okay.
And I got to rewatch that again.
That's a great movie, man.
It's a great movie.
I love it.
Dave and I saw that in the movie, too.
Yeah.
And it's Stranger Things. Without the Psy-Odd abilities.
I kind of wondered, like, whenever the first time I saw Stranger Things, I wondered if that's where they kind of got the idea of Stranger Things, because it is very Goonies-esque.
Yes.
And almost kind of follows the same storyline as what, or Stranger Things, I should say, kind of follows almost the same storyline with them, because it is a group of friends basically trying to run around, almost defeat an alien. Granted, it's an alien, not a creature from another dimension, but it's very, very similar. A lot of it's underground, like where Stranger Things is. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love both of them, but they are awful similar. And Super 8, dude, I just love that movie, man. It's great. I always like watching that, and like, I'll go back to it like periodically. Like, it's not one of those I've seen like 500 times, like Star Wars,
right?
But I'll watch it every now and then whenever I'm like, oh, what do I want to see and watch? And I'll watch it just looking for, you know, things that the kids have in that movie that, you know, we all had as kids, you know, like the Star Wars figures that they've got hanging up in the room and all like this good stuff, man. The walkie-talkies. I even think the walkie-talkies that they had in that movie is almost the same ones that Steven and I had. Or
whatever. And the models. Did y'all do models? Models when I was a kid.
I have a garage full of them right now.
Still, really?
I still build them.
Mine are gone. I think I have one somewhere.
Speaking of models, man, have you seen the models that Bandai does? I know Steven has.
Yes. Amazing.
Check out the Star Wars models at Bandai. I say Bandai. People always correct me all the time and say it's Bandai. And I'm
go with what's easy for you.
Yeah. I'm Texan, so it comes out as Bandai. Just like if it's a hockey player, that's last name is Wah, it's actually Roy, so, you know.
Ryan.
Yeah. It happens, man. I'm sorry, but
can't get away from the dialect.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's like one of those things that, like, I was listening to the radio yesterday. I was coming home from, I'd taken Steven's oldest son, Jonathan, out, he wanted to go Black Friday shopping. He'd never been out Black Friday shopping before, and I was like, dude, if you really want to go, we'll go, but you're not going to like it. And so we go out, and we're driving home, and they're doing this advertisement for a, Tamale Festival in Dallas or whatever. It's like some beer and tamale festival. And I was like, dude, that sounds amazing. Like, A, it's beer, which I love beer.
B is tamales.
And like, one thing I have noticed is, like, a lot of people outside of, like, the Texas, like, southwestern area don't really know what tamales are. Like, you mentioned a tamale, and they're like, what the hell's a tamale? I'm like, dude, you're missing out, man. Get some queso, get some chili or whatever, dude.
Especially if you find a
Texas energy bar.
A good tamale. Not the, there's so many bad ones that they sell at restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, you can't get the
not the canned ones. About that Hormel. But they sell, the Hormel, forget that.
Yeah, no.
But the... We went back a few years ago. You know, people go around and sell them out of the back of their truck, right?
Oh, God.
And those are the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they give you the salsa, a verde, and the red. And my wife and I are kind of nuts. We get, like, we can do that.
Yep.
Kind of like watching 45. I can make a knife like that. And then you try to do it, and it's, like, not that easy. Well, we're going to make tamales. So we searched around. We gathered up, found a recipe, an authentic recipe. Not from a cookbook or something, but from somebody that actually knows how to make tamales.
Yeah.
Gathered up the steamer, the gear, and the it's really simple, really. You just have to have a steamer and getting the right peppers together. And the first time we tried it was the biggest disaster. So, because we ended up with this giant lump of wet dough.
Yeah,
there was a little bit of pork in it. And not good. But we stuck with it. And right now... It's hard for me to find a tamale, and I know this sounds really arrogant.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to eat a tamale that we haven't made or that I know isn't on par.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you're bringing tamales to the family Christmas thing then?
We can't. It's a labor-intensive process.
And that's what I hear, man.
Because it takes
extremely
time.
Labor-intensive.
Yeah.
We've made them before. That's what I'm thinking. We need to get together and make tamales.
But it's simple at the same time. Yes. You get a pork loin. You throw an onion in and some other things into the water. Boil your pork to where it's cooked through and ready just to, like, when it comes out, you just shred it with your hands.
Yeah.
And you also, at the same time, you get some peppers, like the New Mexico peppers.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you boil them. De-seed them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And boil them, and then you take that and blend it up.
Yeah.
Then you pour that over the pork, and we do it, and then you just mix the masa with some water and some lard. You can go another route, but lard is what we use.
Yeah.
And then you just start rolling it out on the corn husks. And so you got to, that's the hard part that we took a long time to figure out is the exact thickness.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I load it down with the meat. I don't get stingy. Yep. We load it down on it.
Good. And I hate that whenever you bite into
you
a tamale.
You get the giant horse corn husks, so you have the big tamales. Big, great, big old thick.
I'm not trying to say that like our Uncle Dan is not, I'm not trying to say he's picky about things, but he kind of is.
Yeah, he is.
And he's always like, "So you making tamales?" Making tamales. I'm like, if something like that compliments what you do, you're
doing
good.
All right.
Look, I'm done bragging.
We use just like a round roast, beef roast.
Oh yeah,
and cook it the same way, except I'll put it in a blender or a food processor.
Really,
and just basically make a beef paste out of it.
Just shredding it up.
It's just basically a beef paste. And then make the red sauce for it with like red peppers and stuff. Cook that and then add it to it.
Well, we need to have a tamale taste.
So I'm saying we need to make tamales because we're going to make chicken and beef. So I'm not pork.
I was talking to some of the Latinos. I'll be PC and say Latinos. Their work. And they were saying, you know, after Chris or after Thanksgiving or whatever, they always buy like a larger turkey than what they'll need, and then they take all that turkey. And then make tamales out of it.
Oh, sweet.
And I was like, dude, that would actually, I mean, that's actually a really good idea, man.
Yeah,
like, they don't,
turkey tamales.
Yeah, they don't let anything go to waste, man. They're like, yeah, whatever's left over, we just throw it and make tamales out
good
of
idea.
It.
Good idea. We had a lot of turkey. We didn't have that big of a turkey, but we had a lot of people would still have enough left over for something like that.
Yeah.
Damn it. Tamale and beer festival. And I was like, yeah. The only thing that was driving me nuts about it is, like, the lady that was doing the announcing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, you know, come out to the blah, 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 like whatever park. And she's like, for the beer and tamale festival or whatever. I'm like, come on, man. It's like going to Taco Bell and ordering, like, I'll take a burrito, a taco, a quesadilla, and a Coke. Yeah. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, Coke. I understand it, like, whenever it's a name, like, if it's somebody's name, like Martinez or something like that, like, to put the inflection on the enunciation, but, like, if it's something like tamale or burrito or taco or quesadilla or fajita.
I used to have a bad habit when I'd order Chinese food. I like General Tso's chicken. I'd be like, can I have some General Tso's chicken? on the phone, and I'd start thinking about that. I'm like, what are you doing that for?
Why are you
and
doing
they'd be like, you want fried rice? I was like, yeah, I need some fried rice, please. I'm like, you got to stop that. It's just a habit, though.
Thinking that you're mocking them or something.
Yeah, I know, and I'm not doing it. It's just coming out that way. And so I was like, oh, man. So I have to, when I order Chinese food now, I have to make it a habit. Can I have a General Tso's chicken, please? And, of course, I think you're some crazy American that can't pronounce their language, but
right.
It's more disrespectful to go, need some General Tso's chicken, and I like the fried rice with that.
But going back to the Bandai, because I see it pulled up on
your phone. Yeah, I was showing you that right there.
That Millennium Falcon is awesome.
Well, that's not cheap, though.
No, no, it's not.
$363. It's
like I think they call it their perfect scale or something.
Perfect scale, yeah.
But it's already pre-painted. Of course, you'll have to do like weathering and stuff. But yeah, man, it's 1/72 scale, so it's going to be big. I'm not exactly sure, but the size dimensions on it. But I'm assuming it's going to be the size of my Hasbro one that I've got up there. That's like 2 feet across or whatever.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, right? It is. Yeah. Give me something cool to have.
Yeah.
See if I can find the dimensions on it here. We are.
It should be there.
Perusing Amazon here.
But yeah, man. So
the 1.7 meter studio model. So that's almost 6 feet. It's over 3 feet.
Yeah. No.
1.7 meters. 1 meter is 3 feet.
Yeah.
So 0.7, you would think it would go to 10. So that's 3/4 almost. 1 3/4 meters.
Yeah. So about 5 feet.
Five foot across. Yeah.
Well, that goes that idea. I was thinking about getting it.
That's twice the size of that one, dude.
You were talking about doing your garage into a room.
Yeah.
And you're going to have your projector up on the ceiling where the garage door opener is.
Yeah.
You take that model and you mount it to the ceiling like it would be on an asteroid or something, or on the back of a ship.
Well, there you go. Yeah, but then I'd walk out into the garage one day and it'd fallen from the ceiling and be shattered all over my floor.
All right. Scratch that idea. That's not...
Right.
Don't listen to everything I said.
Yeah. So Punisher, man. How far are y'all in Punisher now?
Number 11. Oh, okay. Season 1.
Episode 1. Dude. It's...
Yeah. I started episode 10 and then I got through that far on Monday and then my week stalled out as far as things like that. And, dude...
Yeah.
Intense? That's not a good enough word.
You don't know intense yet. You don't know intense yet. Because I finished yesterday.
This is a sigh for me. I don't know when I'm going to get to finish it.
Well, it's like I started episode 11 yesterday, and I was going to watch episode 11, and I was like, I can't stop now.
Yeah.
And then I watched episode 12 and then episode 13, and it's just like, yeah. Obviously, they set it up for another season.
Right.
I saw something about season 2 just the other day. I don't know if it's the recording or it's coming or what's going on there, but so it should be coming.
Well, how perfect is John Bernthal? That's his name, right? I'm probably
misguiding. He's a good Punisher. I like him better than like Thomas Jane in the movies.
He beats all of those. That was on Punisher with Thomas Jane was on TV yesterday.
Yes. Was it?
You know, I'm sorry. It's just not
the same.
It's not the same. They took it to a level that, you know, it's believable.
Yeah.
It's a comic book, but it's believable that this could happen. Somebody could be like this.
Honestly, everything in the show to me seems very believable because I want to talk so much about it, but I can't because y'all haven't done it through 12.
You can talk up 12 and 13. Episode 10.
Though. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember what happens. Have y'all figured out who Billy Russo is?
Billy Russo's his buddy from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But he's also.
He's the other team leader.
He's working with the CIA guy.
Yeah.
But who he's actually supposed to be eventually.
No. I haven't figured that out yet.
He's Jigsaw.
Oh,
really?
I don't know Punisher all that much, but I had to do some looking up online. Okay. And so I did that online yesterday because, oh man, I can't, the last episode, dude.
Oh, by the way, spoilers, everybody.
I'm not telling y'all what happened.
No, don't do that, but we're spoiling.
Yeah,
we're
going, spoil whatever. Episode 10, season 1.
Plus, this won't come out till the end of December.
So. Yeah, exactly. No. But,
I didn't trust him from the start. My wife, there's two friends he had. The one that's the social worker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Was his name Clarence, I think?
Clarence or Lewis or something.
Well, Lewis was the
bomber guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And those two guys. And I knew one of those were going to be the ones you couldn't trust. And, of course, it had to be the wealthy go-getter that was out for himself, really.
The one that's every movie?
Yeah.
Dude, the So y'all saw, I'm trying to remember, episode 10. That's where, so you're to 10, right?
Yeah.
So you've seen Lewis' demise. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
that was one that I saw that I was like, whoa. Out of all the things that he's done, like the sledgehammer and all like this type of stuff, the Lewis one was the one where I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because he basically talked that kid into blowing himself up.
Yeah.
In the freezer door. He's like, you're a good soldier. You can do it, Lewis.
That reminds me. I have one question for you guys.
What's that?
They're in the elevator, right? He's pretended to take, I forget her name, hostage.
Karen
hostage to escape.
Yeah.
They're in the elevator. He stops the elevator, knocks the roof out, uses one hand to tie it up because he's got something sticking out of the back of his arm. Is that A, shrapnel from the door blowing up, or B, is that his arm bone sticking out the back?
It's shrapnel from the door
blowing up. It's got to be, because in the next scene, he jumps up and pulls himself up with both arms.
Because, they actually show him pull that piece of shrapnel out, too.
Okay, so yeah, I guess
he, like,
I
pulls that shrapnel out, and, like, blood drips down onto his foot, and they actually have, like, a close-up where, like, the piece of shrapnel lands on his foot, and blood drips on.
Right.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's another thing. They're not hiding away from the gore.
The gore. And
he's getting he's been injured, and they're, like, operating on him.
Operating on him, yeah.
I don't see, that's the one thing. I don't do that. I don't do extreme violence very well. I don't do I don't watch any like Saw movies or anything like that.
Yeah, no.
I gave him a try, and it's just not for me because I don't see the point in it seeing that, because I think you get a lot more from just the suggestion that something's happening.
Oh, yeah.
But like, so I'm turning my head like away like this during those scenes. I'm like, is it over yet?
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, I'll just say keep watching. There's a scene in episode 13 where him and Billy are having their standoff.
So he figured out Billy is...
Well, yeah, he figured out who Billy was there in episode 10 because they had that, like...
Oh, that's right, in the Mexican stairwell
stairwell.
And they're all arrested or something, he escapes, But
they have, like, a face-off in episode 13. I won't say what happens or anything like that, but there's something that'll make you cringe and go, oh, my, what the hell? Well,
that's not a spoiler because, you know
it's going
to that.
Yeah. He's going to... I can tell you right now he's going to survive because he's one of the major villains.
Yeah.
But, then, I mean, we all kind of figured that anyway, is that, you know, it's kind of like Kingpin and Daredevil. Right. You know, we all knew that Vincent D'Onofrio wasn't going to die, who I thought was a great pick for Kingpin, man. Oh, dude, yeah. That guy's such a good actor.
Every time you say Kingpin, I'm like, keep remembering, I milked your cow. We don't have a cow.
Right. Took me a while to get him going. But
that's a memory. I can just live it down. Oh, gosh.
Great movie, though.
Miss Claudia, we got
it. I've been happy with it. Darn dang good show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a real good show.
And, I was talking to some guys the other day. It's like, for me, I like the DC movies better than, like, the Batman v Superman and I'm blanking out on the name for the first Superman movie.
Oh, Man of Steel?
Man of Steel.
Yeah.
That was
loved
a great
them.
Movie.
I love those movies. A lot of people hate on them, but I loved them.
I can't
and I
like
them better than I like them. I'm not going to bag on Marvel. I love the Marvel movie, but I kind of like stopped watching them after, like, I don't even think I saw Avengers. Once they started getting teams so big that you're not following around. But the Netflix Marvel TV shows, I kind of feel like they're in the same realm of the style and tone as like the DC is with their movies.
Well, and they've seemed really, really dark, man. The Marvel TV shows, at least the Netflix ones, Daredevil and Punisher, and I haven't really seen all of Jessica Jones. I've watched a few episodes of that, but like they're really dark, man, and just like more real worldy than like you said, like what the Avengers is per se or whatever.
But yeah, I've watched the two seasons of Daredevil. I've watched almost all of Luke Cage. I have not watched Jessica Jones because I heard some about how dark it goes, and I'm not sure if I want to go there.
Yeah.
And then I haven't seen the Defenders.
Yeah, Luke Cage was cool. I really liked
Luke Cage. Luke Cage was very cool. Yeah. A lot of people hated on that, too, though.
Yeah. Luke Cage. I was thinking of Iron Fist. I haven't watched Iron Fist yet.
Iron Fist is pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, no, that's
it's fine. Probably the weakest of all of that.
I kind of figured as much, man. I was kind of disappointed because there was talks for a long time that they were going to use Ray Park as Iron Fist, who is also cool. Darth Maul, and is also, like, super awesome. I can't think of the style of martial arts that he practices, but good Lord, man, the guy is just... You know, you'll go to a panel that he's on or whatever, and he's just always out there. A lot of times he'll bring a kid up on stage. Any kid that's dressed up like Darth Maul, he'll bring him up on stage and show him like a few like moves or whatever, how to twirl the double-bladed lightsaber. Oh yeah, if the kid's got dressed up as Darth Maul and he's got the double-bladed saber, he'll pull him up on stage and show him how to twirl the saber around and do like a flip kick or something crazy like that. And he's like, "See, there you go." You know,
easy as that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, easy is that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, man, I don't know. Going back to the Punisher, man, like, I feel like I'm going to have to watch it all over again. Yeah. Same thing with Stranger Things. But I want to do Stranger Things from episode one, season one, all the way through. And I'd kind of planned on doing that beforehand, but it didn't quite work out. I just was like, oh, season two, I'll get started now. Just to kind of see how well the stories kind of like flow together or whatever. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of shows I watch them like that. I'm like, now that I'm done with them, I'm going to watch them again because I feel like I missed a lot of it.
Yeah.
Well, did you feel like from the opening scene in episode one was pretty, or scenes, collection of scenes before the titles come up, which seemed almost like the perfect opening for a Punisher series?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's taking out the last guys on his list.
Yeah.
And then. He burns 6 months later. He's using a sledgehammer.
Yeah,
because he doesn't. He's not. He's still got the rage.
Oh yeah,
but he's not got an outlet for it. So instead of taking it out on people that don't deserve it, he's just taking it out on walls.
Right. And this one I loved about that man was the buildup. The buildup to show how much rage he still had pent up inside of him, like just hammering on those walls,
waiting on him to snap.
Yeah, with the sledgehammer.
Yep.
Another thing, though, it seems like it gives him more humanity as it goes on, because he's building relationships with Micro's family.
Yeah.
It's kind of twisted me up a little bit when he pulls that knife on that little boy's
throat. Oh, yeah.
Trying to show him, oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And then the guy, the kid, of course, has emotional issues from losing his dad, and he, like, realizes, oh, I shouldn't treat a little boy like I would
a grown man.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that. I love that. But when he needs it, he can still tap into it.
Yeah. And it shows a little bit of that, too.
He hasn't lost his humanity.
Yeah. Well, and it shows a little bit of that, too, also. And one of the other, like, little kind of, like, flashback scenes where he's on the boat with his daughter and son or whatever, and his son made some, you know, racial comment or whatever. Right. And he basically, like, slaps his kid and, like, grabs him by the back of the head and says, like, don't you say that. Don't you ever say that. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he, like, realizes that he's kind of gone a little bit too hard on him. And
I love that scene just because it showed that he had that realization that he overreacted as a dad.
Mm-hmm.
But what breaks my heart is... the way they shot it, you see a figure watching this family.
Yeah.
It's him watching the family.
How, and having the memory of how he had done these things. And you know, he was not a perfect man by a long shot.
Oh, God, no. But nobody is. Yeah, but yeah, man, I'd noticed that, but then whenever you pulled it, you know, brought it up, it's like, dude, that was just like beautifully shot. Like, it's kind of. You know, not just the actors themselves, but the directors and the cinematographers and stuff, man. Everybody's done a great freaking job on it.
Yep.
One more thing. I think one of the biggest, most important, because I was like, my wife was watching some of the early episodes with me, and then I just kind of went off and caught up, tried to catch up to you on my own one day, and, you know, or some of the stuff he does. I mean, he's the Punisher. He's Frank Castle. He's not going to be the nice guy.
Yeah.
And my wife's going like, oh. And especially when they were showing the things he had done in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think I like the Punisher. I don't either. That's what the beautiful thing is. They're revealing things as they go along. And it's like, oh, this is why he's doing it, because he believes that he's doing something that's sanctioned by Congress. And it's
right,
even if you feel it's wrong, the people that he's doing these things to
are supposedly bad guys.
We find out that's not true. And then where a lot of the rage comes from, and I think where he's formed as what he is when he's sent out on the mission that he says is going to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the CIA guy says, go.
Yeah.
I point, you shoot, or something like that.
I pointed, now go shoot.
Yeah, no, go shoot. Yeah. And when he says, I'm going through that house, I got to get home and see the boss. I mean, because his wife had got on Springsteen tickets.
Yeah.
And he just takes everybody out, and the rage and the anger he felt for everybody that was dying, it almost felt like they were set up to just get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they weren't supposed to come back.
That's what it sounds. That's what it seemed like, because they kept saying that that's a perfect ambush point, that the blah, 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 or whatever. And then they send them anyways. Like you said, he said, I point, you go shoot.
Well, I think they were wanting the team to get wiped out then. Anyway, I think they were done with them, and that was their plan, was to kill them off because they knew too much.
Yeah. That's, I feel the same way.
Because, you know, they knew who he was. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They were all starting to get the thought that, hey, this ain't right. And I think it was meant to wipe the team out.
Right.
But
good show.
It is a really good show. I enjoy it. I can't wait to finish it tomorrow. So what's next on the watch list?
Episode 8?
Yeah.
I mean, we are 19 days away from it at this point. We are in the teens now.
I plan on finishing Game of Thrones this weekend.
How far into that
are you? I'm episode 6 of season 7, so I've got 2 left. And then I will finish The Punisher season 1 this weekend. And then I'm not sure what I'm off to after that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have anything set, man. I don't know. Like,
same here.
You need to check out Mindhunter. That's a good series.
Yeah, Mindhunter's really good.
I've watched the first 5 minutes of that.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's another pretty... Nah, I'll probably watch
that. Well, yeah, I was about to say, that one's not as gory as what that first 15 minutes is.
No, it's just the interviews they did with some of those guys.
Yeah.
And that makes you wonder, like, how does a person get there? You know, I mean, how do you get to that point to where that is normal in your mind?
You're broken from the beginning or early on.
Oh, man. Oh, it's...
Well, that's what I liked about it, is that it actually, you know, kind of goes into detail, and that's what they're doing, is that, you know, they're the behavioral science unit of the FBI.
And it's based on a book that was written by one of the people that actually...
It's basically it's a true story.
Kind of like, well, Hannibal Lecter.
And a lot of their interviews, they're interviewing is actual transcripts of the interviews of these guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think that they changed the names of the serial killers, but...
Yeah, but the transcripts are... Yeah.
Does it have the... this might be too early. Y'all ever seen the documentary? There's 2 of them called The Iceman.
Uh-huh.
And it's about a real hitman. And Michael Shannon started a movie based on this guy's life. And one of the coldest things I've ever watched, Iceman Cold, sorry, not an intentional pun there. But seriously, watching this guy talk about how, I do this and this. And
yeah.
He said, he's like, the only emotion I ever saw, I mean, he's lost his family because of how horrible, I mean, he killed hundreds of people probably for the mob. And just because he had anger, he was a killer from the get-go as a child, you know. He said the one thing that ever made him, he kind of regretted doing, was this guy was like, oh God, oh God, oh God, please help me. And he says, okay. Set a watch down. I said, I'll give you 5 minutes to pray to your God, and I'm going to come back. And if your God will save you, then that's fine. If not, and of course, nothing happened. And,
yeah.
And he, that's the only thing. He kind of got a little choked up about that. But the other things he did, he just cold, didn't care.
Yep.
He would leave home. His wife thought he had another job, and he'd just go out and he'd murder people for a living.
That's crazy.
It gives chills, though, because you never know, because they're such a sociopath. You can't tell if they're good at like faking it in society. Scary.
There's this one guy they interview on that Mindhunter, and he'll never admit to doing it. He'll say, oh, well, I saw her on the side of the road, and I picked her up, and she ended up back in my garage. I took some photos of her, and last I saw her, she was walking home. But the photos of her that he took are of after he did his thing.
No.
In his mind, he released her. And they found hundreds of photos in his garage and things he had done. You know that first one they interview. And in his mind, he released her. And he's just as calm and collected. Oh, she was beautiful and this, that, and the other. She wanted to be a model. I took pictures of her. And,
to bring it up to date, just a couple of weeks ago in Japan. which has one of the lowest crime rates in the world, murder rates in the world. They had found a girl had gone missing. They tracked her down via video cameras.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, public cameras that she'd been seen walking with this guy getting on a train. And turns out when they went to question the guy, they found, I think, 10 heads in styrofoam coolers and refrigerators.
Holy crap.
That he'd killed in the last month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. That's
happened. Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about depressing? You start going through and going down the list of all the different serial killers. And we grew up in North Texas where Henry Lee Lucas lived. I mean, I live about 20 minutes from where he was living at the time
before
he got caught.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're probably within 3 or 4 miles of where one of his victims was left on the corner down by the, one of his girlfriend that was living with him out in where I live. They had left there and she was found dead here.
Oh, wow.
And then he had gone back. And actually, I went to school with the granddaughter of the guy that caught him.
Oh, holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah. And that turned into a huge circus where he did not kill everybody. They just pinned hundreds of murders on him. Yeah. He liked the attention.
It's a good scapegoat.
And he listened, and he knew how to manipulate people, of course. And he said, yeah, I did that. Yeah. And they were like, okay. They would feed him information. Yeah. And he'd say, yeah, I remember doing that.
Yeah. I remember seeing that movie the first time, that Henry Memoirs of a Serial Killer or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, that was one of those that... I remember, even though it was as old as what that movie was, and granted, it could just be like me remembering it, but I remember just how realistic everything looked in that. You know, like I think the one girl that he'd stabbed with a bottle or whatever, and they, just remember seeing that. I was like, holy crap, did they use like real people to do that on? It was bad, dude. Yeah. But
it's too close to.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And it was Michael Rooker close. Too, wasn't it? I
think. Yeah, good actor.
Yeah,
great performances. But that's one of those I won't ever go back and watch again.
I read a news story the other day. If I remember right, it says at any one point in time there is either. And this is where my number's wrong. 200 or 2,000 serial killers operating in the United States every day.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's... I want to say it's 2,000, but it seems like a lot.
You're probably safe saying the 200 or 100.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember what it was. I'll have to look it up again. But, yeah, at one point in time.
Disappear left and right, and you never hear that.
Yep.
It's one thing I was like with the... You haven't read the Dresden Files yet, have you?
No, my wife read the first book. I watched the TV series.
Yeah, the TV series is... crap compared to the books.
Well, yeah.
And the book, the first book, I will say, like, the first book on that is, like, kind of slow. Second book is a little slow also, but, dude, whenever you get into the third book...
That's a long... He's got several. I mean, there's
quite a few of them.
It's like...
You've read all of them, too.
I want to say it's, like, 14 or 15 into the series right now or something.
He has a fantasy series, too, that I want to check out someday.
Yeah.
Have you read of those?
The Cinder Spires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or wait. Are you thinking the Codex Alera?
Codex Alera, yeah.
Yeah, dude, those are really good, man. But yeah, one thing that I liked about going back to like the missing people type thing or whatever, the one thing I really liked about the Dresden Files series is he goes about like, you know, you have all these mythical creatures that are real, like ghouls and all like this, and one of the reasons why people disappear and they never ever find them is because they become like taken by vampires or taken by ghouls and eaten by ghouls and all like this or whatever. And it's just kind of like one of those neat little things that you're like, oh wow, that puts it in like a real world terminology where it's like, you know, thousands of people do go missing every year.
Yeah.
That it's like, wow. And he even broke it down in one of the books where he's like, you know, you take your school photo or whatever and you know, at least one person in your school photo has more than likely gone missing and never been found, and more than likely could be due to a abduction by like a ghoul or whatever. Dude, like, he gets pretty, dark in some of those books, especially towards ghouls. Like the character of Harry, like something really bad happens to him with a ghoul. Yeah.
And that makes me think. At one time I could list it out. I think I've either known or have known. At least 10 people who are either murdered people or been murdered or victims of some violent crime.
Oh, wow.
And funny story associated with this. I'm not going to go down the list because it's too, to Graham. It's nothing. Nobody real close, like close friends, or except one was a close friend in elementary school.
Yeah,
who did something. And when I was in college, going to get my yearbook photo taken, we had to go up above student union to this little room and on this long hallway, and there's a photo guy set up with the camera and all that, and he was a real personable guy, real friendly, nice, talking about, hey, where are you from? Yeah, in the country. Yeah, lots of interesting stuff out in the country. I'm like, yeah, I love it out there. And he's like, takes my photo, walk off. We get told that we have to go back and have our photos taken again.
Yeah.
Well, why? No, don't hear a reason why. Then we find out this nice guy that was super buddy-buddy with me had kidnapped a bank guy from a bank and was holding him hostage, had thrown him down a well, shot him in the leg, and the guy ended up leaving. He left him there to die.
Good God.
So, yeah, that's, I was like, just kind of shocked. I'm glad the guy liked me. That photo shoot might not have gone
too well. Maybe he was trying to find out if you owned a bank or something.
Yeah. You got any wells on your property? Yeah. Actually, I do. We did have an old dry well. Oh, gosh.
Really? I'd like to come see that. How do you get there? What's the combination?
Yeah.
Twisted world.
Oh, man.
Very.
Dude, there's an old dry well. This place where me and Steven and some kids, like, because, you know, we kind of grew up.
It was full of water. It wasn't dry.
Oh, that's right. It was full. We used to throw stuff down in it. Catch turtles, and there's one kid that we hung over top of the well. Also, he was being a little shithead.
Okay. Still not good.
Not good.
Well, we
let's see how this story ends.
Next thing I know, like, he'd been like, we used to go play war with our BB guns, you know, to everybody's, you know, advisory of not to do that. Our parents are like, don't point that at other people and shoot. But that's all we ever did was shoot each other BB guns. And we had been down to the creek, and me and Steven had these BB guns that looked like M16s, and we'd been shooting each other or whatever. And this one kid that lived next door to us, even though we lived kind of out in the middle of nowhere, there's a little community out in the middle of nowhere, not like some hippie community or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, we were 10, 15 miles out of town, and there's like maybe 5 or 6 houses on the road at that point in time. And the kid that lived next door, he was a little shithead, man. We'd gone down to the creek with him, we were playing or whatever, and he was like doing something, I can't remember, and I remember he kept, like, we were walking back, and he kept coming up and giving Steven, like, the flat tire or whatever, swapping his foot with his foot and kind of making him trip a little bit. And Steven kept telling him to stop. And so we get to the well, like always. We'd always have something to throw in the well whenever we got by. And so I think we tossed a turtle in there or whatever, because there's a monster down at the bottom of the well, so we had to feed the well monster, you know.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
Idea. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
These kids are saving the world by keeping this monster fed.
Right. Yep. Hey, it could be Jormungandr or something like that out of the bottom of it. But anyways, next thing I know, like, I threw something in the well. Next thing I know, Steven knocks Toby down, and he's like basically like holding him down. He tells me to grab his arms. And so I grab his arms. Steven grabs his feet, and we hang him over top of the well. We kept telling him, we're like, we're going to drop you. Of course, he's like kicking and screaming and stuff and trying to get away. And I almost actually dropped him because of it, because he's, it's bad news. Yeah.
Okay, you almost admitted to a crime there. It all turned out well. He's hopefully still alive.
Oh, yeah. We never did anything like super bad, but like, yeah. I just realized your shirt was the Last Jedi shirt. Right? That's pretty cool, man.
Like that.
I saw Praetorian guards on it, yeah. That's pretty neat. Hey, it's even got Old Man Luke on it. That's awesome.
Sure enough.
That's why I got it, because he was on there.
Yeah. Okay. I thought about wearing my Last Jedi t-shirt, but instead I'm just dressed like trash.
So. Got mine.
I did shower today.
So. Oh, good.
I haven't. Last night.
Yeah, mine was from Thursday, so.
Oh, good. Yeah. Thank you. Small room we're in, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. Dude, I'm trying to think of what else I had kind of in the brain to talk about. I never write down an agenda. I should.
Yeah, I guess I should probably say that maybe over the course of the week I should start writing down my ideas.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Because stuff pops in my head, and then being old, I forget about it. But this week I hadn't had much pop in my head because, like I said, we've had company. Yeah, my mother-in-law's in, my sister-in-law's
I don't know about you, but don't get me wrong, I love my family, but Wednesday we had to go up to my mom's because she had some of her family come in.
Yeah.
And She had a meal. We had a meal with them. Free Thanksgiving feast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brisket and, that they'd smoked. And then even more people came over on Thursday. And I'm just not good. Even if I know every single person, I am not good with crowds.
No, I'm not.
At all. And it kind of, I think I've got some kind of disorder because when I'm around a bunch of people like that, I feel like it just drains the energy out of me.
It's hereditary and it runs in our family because I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shut down.
Yeah. I go sit on my front porch or I disappear to my room. I'm always looking for something to do.
Like we had about 8 or 9 people at my house yesterday. My wife's family came over. And that wasn't so bad, but over time, I even started just like, oh, I just need a minute, room where there's no one just to breathe, you know.
Yeah. Well, like
things
like when we have, you know, our family get-togethers with all the aunts and uncles and cousins and all like that, and it's like what, like 50 people in a room, it seems like, or whatever. And it just keeps getting louder and louder and louder. We've got the one uncle that talks like super loud anyway, is the one picky one that you were talking about a minute ago. He gets so loud to where it's like, I'm not going to try to talk over people. So I just usually just go outside.
And usually you just kind of, there's another my mom's family. We sometimes go to have a family reunion and I don't know anybody there except for 2 or 3 people aside from my mom, dad, sister, and her family.
Yeah.
And all we ever do is we gravitate in this little circle.
Oh, yeah.
And there's 40 other people that I don't know or even interact with the entire time. So why, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hear you. That's the same way.
Okay. This brings up something. While you're trying to think of something, I know Dave's answer for this, but Thanksgiving or Christmas?
That's a good question. I like both of them, but I had to lean towards Christmas.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something, but I like what Christmas stands for. And I get a lot of the same on Christmas that I get on Thanksgiving.
Right.
But then again, I also get, my kids really like it. It's, to me, it's that time of year and their eyes start shining. You know what I mean? And you still get to see family. That was my thing on Thanksgiving, is I get to see family, be with family. And I still get the same thing on Christmas, but the added bonus of the whole Christmas season type of thing. Now ask me Christmas or 4th of July. 4th of July.
Okay. Dave's answering me Christmas.
Yeah, I'm Christmas, man. And it's just, I don't know, like, just puts me in a good mood, man. Yeah. You know, like, something about it. I get to watch all these Christmas movies that I love. You know, Home Alone, A Christmas Story, Christmas it's cool Vacation. Outside. Yeah. It's supposed to be cool outside, but yet it's like...
It's not 110.
70-something degrees outside right now. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, like, I don't know. Like, it's just fun. It's just fun. And even, like, I still live by the mysticism of, like, you know, like, Santa Claus is real and all like that and all, like, this good stuff. And
Santa Claus is real.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah, no.
You're Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Right. Spoiler alert.
The real Santa Claus is out shopping right now while I'm over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My answer is Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you still get the same, you still get family, you still get great food. You don't
spend as much
money. You don't spend as much money.
Hey. I was actually at Celebration. And I was this last Celebration, I was at Celebration. I found my way down to like this little lounge area that nobody really knew about it. And I went down there and there's a dude sitting there and he's reading a book. And I was like, man, it's like these like 3 really big couches kind of set in like a U shape. And there's like a big table set in the middle of them. And I was like, dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. It's like, all right, cool. So I just sat down. I'm like resting my feet because I was walking an average of like 12 miles a day there.
Yeah.
So I sit down and I'm hanging out and this lady comes up and she asks if she can sit down. And she's like, dude, you're over there on the other couch. I don't care. There's 3 couches here. So she sits down and it's her and her son that's in a stroller and then, oh, I'm sorry, her daughter that's in a stroller and her son who looks like he's probably about like maybe 5 years old also, somewhere in that area. And so they're sitting there and like, I start talking to the little kid because that's just what I do. Like, he was being friendly. So I started talking to him about his Legos and all like this good stuff. And, her husband walks up. And so we're all sitting there in like a half circle talking, just being friendly. That's what you do at Celebration. Everybody at Celebration is awesome. And the, son's trying to get my attention. And the same thing, like, he just comes up and he's like, hey, hey, hey. And I'm in the middle of telling them a story at the point in time. And he's like, hey, hey, hey. And then he starts tapping me on the arm. Hey, 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 hey. And they're not saying anything to him. They're not saying a word to him. I stop in the middle of my story. I said, excuse me, I'm talking right now. If you'll give me 5 minutes to finish my story that I'm telling them, I will give you all the attention that you require after that.
Right.
Really short, really simple, really sweet. Didn't get on to him, didn't raise my voice or nothing. I look up, finish telling the story, and they're looking at me like, well, you are right now, just kind of surprised. Like, yeah. They're just like, what the hell just happened? And so they sit there for about maybe another 10 more minutes, and they get up and leave.
Oh.
And the dude that was sitting there with the book, he stops, and he goes, where are you from? And I was like, Texas. And I asked him, I was like, where are you from? He goes, I'm from here. He goes, I seriously just had to like drive like a mile to get here or whatever. He goes, you know, he goes, but he goes, I got to say, he goes, I don't, did you notice the look on their faces? I said, yeah, they looked a little bit shocked. And he goes, I guess it's the Texas thing that they decided that they weren't going to correct you on it because I've never seen anybody ever scold anybody else's kid. And I was like, well, I'm not going to sit there and let a kid sit there and pester me. Well, right. If you're not going to do a thing about it, I will discipline your kid
for what you said. It wasn't. Yeah, it's not like you cursed him out and threatened to punch him. You're like, have a little few manners here and behave.
Yeah.
And if those parents can't do that, then it's not like you stepped over some line, but I had the feeling that you were going to end up there. You were going to be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah. Right. But it's funny because he's just like, oh, it must be a Texas thing then. I got kind of upset, and I was like, what do you mean by that? And he goes,
oh, whoa.
He's like, oh, well, you know, you kind of scolded their kid for them and whenever they weren't doing anything. And he goes, you know, a lot of people might say something. He goes, I guess since you were from Texas, they decided they weren't going to do it. I was like, it could be also the fact that her husband was like 5'5"
and,
and dressed like a Jedi, and I'm like a foot taller than what he is.
A Viking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the giant from Game of Thrones versus all the wildlings. It's towering above
you. Yeah, exactly.
What stinks is when you come across, kids are great.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but when you run across the bad ones, it's like, oh my God.
Right.
I'd rather hang out with the little kids half the time, like Braden and Kaysen were playing with Delilah all the day on Thursday, and I was just out, me and Trish were out there with them because they're fun.
Oh, yeah. That's the way I usually go outside anyways, like those things, because kids are outside playing. I'd rather hang out with them than sit there and listen to adults try to talk over one another or whatever. Yeah. At least, like, they're yelling is like, yelling to, like, get somebody's attention or playing because they're excited or something, not trying to be like, oh, well, you know, my feats are better than your feats, and, no, your feats are better than mine, or you're just, yeah, that's what it seems like a lot of times to me, is like, oh, well, or this has happened, and it's just awful. I don't know. Yeah, it's...
Lila's birthday is also, well, she was born on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And, I won't talk a lot about it, but she's got learning disabilities. She's behind. She's blind, special needs.
Yeah.
But she's also got the mind of an elephant. She can remember everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's weird when you see her interact with other kids that aren't delayed in any way.
Yeah.
But for her birthday, we got her one of these little microphones that has a speaker built in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the happiest things was when we gave it to her, and she did what almost every little kid would do. I'm like, you're
straight to the fart noises.
You're a good girl.
Straight to the fart noises.
Then she found out it echoed.
Yeah,
up to the
another level. Another.
Nah, can I add reverb?
Good times.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Mine are too old for all that stuff now. My youngest.
I'll just hand Jonathan a microphone and see what he does.
Yeah,
yeah.
He'll probably start singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you get that, did you guys both watch that video of that A-10 gun I sent?
Yeah.
Was that the A-10 gun or was that one of the ship systems?
No, the first one I sent was the, I think General Electric makes it, it's the Avenger.
Oh, okay.
It's the one that the A-10 was built around the gun. It's the first gun ever to get its own airplane.
Yeah.
And instead of building the airplane and adding a gun.
They built
the gun first.
The idea of the
Yeah, they built the plane around the idea of the gun. The Army had, or the Air Force, the military needed a tank buster. And they wanted to go cheaper than expending a missile on a tank, a Soviet tank, because the Soviets had so many tanks.
Well, what is it? 3,200, 4,200 rounds
4,200 rounds a minute of depleted uranium shells.
That would do it, right?
Yeah. But it says in the article there that the actual gun on the airplane shoots slower to conserve ammunition.
Okay.
It can go as fast as 4,200 rounds a minute, which is 75 rounds a second. But the one on the actual plane shoots slower than that. Now, it doesn't shoot much slower.
Well, that's what I've heard is, I've never was in the military, but I've heard about how military guys say, you don't go full automatic.
No.
Yeah.
That's because you're wasting your ammo.
And it's harder to control. Like, if you're shooting, a shoulder-strapped weapon, then it's also harder to control your weapon and actually shoot accurately if you're shooting a full auto or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you ever watch those videos of the A-10s in combat, like Afghanistan and Iraq, it's like a half a second exposure.
Right.
I mean, it's just a burp, burp, burp. Because I think they only carry, 2,000 rounds.
Yeah.
So he's only got 60 seconds of ammunition.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you know.
Well, I mean, you got to think about that, the weight of that, whenever it comes to the aircraft, you're talking A-10, it's already a titanium body.
Right.
So you're using that as just the skin of the airplane. Then you add that weight of that gun, then the weight of the ammo, then the weight of the bombs and missiles and stuff, the other armaments that it's loaded with. Weight of the fuel, good God, you're talking probably I'm not even going to try to begin to do the math because I don't have any idea because, you know.
A lot.
Yeah. 200 to 300 to 500 pound bombs. You know. That's just insane. But it was.
The video was, I just thought the sound of it just for that 2.5 seconds is like, good Lord, that reminds me of the verse in the Bible where the angels blew their trumpets and unleashed the armies of heaven.
We're going into Ancient Aliens story.
Which is another thing that, I'm a big mythology fan and stuff like that, and you kind of think about the trumpet of God blasting to signal Armageddon, and then, in the Viking lore, you have Gjallarhorn blown by Heimdall, who signals the beginning of Ragnarok or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And then, the two similarities between those, where Christianity has hell. That's where all the people who do bad deeds and things like that go. Then, with the Viking mythology, they have Nibelheim, who's ruled by Hel, H-E-L, not H-E-double-L, Christianity. But, and whereas theirs is a little bit different, theirs is whoever didn't die in battle, who died of, old age or disease or basically you name it, they all go to Nibelheim, but it's not a permanent stay for them.
Like purgatory.
Yeah. Whereas, people who murdered and or whatever, who died, they went to Nibelheim basically to stay. And then, if you ever do any, research on Ragnarok, it's actually really kind of weird. It's I think it's Loki and Hel and some, maybe Surtur. Surtur, he's the flame giant who comes and burns the world to destroy it and then rebirth after that. But, they all come sailing out of Nibelheim on the largest ship ever, but it's made from the toenails and fingernails of the dead.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, and it's
that'd be a creepy image.
Yeah, dude, exactly, man. Like it's got some that's one of those things that their mythology is really, really kind of interesting, and it's you start hearing these stories and stuff, and you're like, oh, well, Loki's not that bad of a dude. And then you start hearing other stories, and you're like, oh, okay, Loki's kind of a bad dude. And then you hear other stories, you're like, whoa, Loki was really bad. And there's a reason why they tied him up in the cave and used the entrails of his son to, bound him. And, yeah.
You start digging, there are a lot of those different cultures, mythologies. There are always some cool stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You really go down a rabbit hole, and then you get the ones where the similarities between different cultures, even deep into stuff like that. It's pretty... pretty wild.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can sit there and talk mythologies for ages.
Right.
And it's kind of ties in a little bit with the DC, because DC uses Diana as Wonder Woman, who Diana, I think it's the Roman god of the hunt. She's a huntress. Diana, and then her counterpart, Artemis, I think is the Greek one. And you know, it's you know, they're basically the same people. But that's what I liked about that. Like the Greek and Roman gods are easy to get mixed up because they're so similar. You had Zeus on one side, and you had Jupiter on the other side. Basically the same dude. The
same pantheon, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just different names.
Well, and they even live. Both of them are supposed to live on Mount Olympus,
right? You know?
And so they kind of like just coincide once, you know, it's basically the same.
That's one of the cool things. Steve, have you read Red Rising?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How far are you in that?
So
I sent him the link, by the way.
I'm pretty far along, yeah. And I don't want to spoil anything for Steve, but I'm to the point where he's advancing.
Okay.
Early on in his challenges, he just had to figure out what the passage was.
Okay.
Yeah. And he got through that, and he's trying to. I'm in the aftermath of that.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it too much till if Steve's going to catch.
Have an yeah. Episode,
maybe
yeah.
But one of the things about it that I think is so cool. So anyhow,
I'll get it for you for Christmas. I'll get you the trilogy for Christmas. You so don't can buy do it yet.
Better right. Job of summarizing yeah. It, Dave, what it's about. But basically, this young man who's actually pretty old, about 16, 17 at the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
And he's actually an older guy for the society.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you're 30 in this society,
you're an old man.
You're an old man and pretty much done.
Yeah. Mm.
And they're the red. They're there on Mars mining helium.
Helium H3 is what they call it.
H3.
Yeah.
Which is being used to terraform Mars. They're told that they are there to protect humanity, which also reminds me of the Scalzi books about how they go out to try to protect and preserve humanity by going to other planets. One of the cool things about it is they are basing this society on Roman, mainly Greek at the beginning, Greek. But then they're starting to put more Roman into it.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the point I'm at. Roman and Greek ancient culture mythology is really influential into it in this sci-fi story.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's kind of one of the things that really drew me into it was the mythology that they use in it or whatever. But basically, it's a story in the future set on Mars, and they have gone back to the caste system where you have, you know, the lords and kings up top.
Yeah. Golds.
The golds. So that would be the golds. And then you have the lowest caste system being the reds. And they are like your servants, your workers. But, you know, and then you have the different colors in between. So you have browns right above golds. And so, like, your gold, to put it like in terms, like your browns to them would be like the sanitation workers and stuff like that. And I only say sanitation workers. Sanitation workers actually get paid pretty damn good, but in real life. But that's what they actually claim in the book is that, you know, they're like sanitation workers.
They've got a whole, like the coppers, I think, are the bureaucrats.
The coppers are the bureaucrats. The silvers are the guys that are like the economists or whatever. The yellows are the medics, the medical profession. Blues are like the really technical. Greens are technical as well, but there's a different type of technology. Like blues are like pilots and navigators and things like that. Greens are technicians to where they like fix electronics and come up with electronics and all like that. And then you have violets, which are entertainers, so like musicians, actors, and then the pinks, which are basically whores. Wow. Yeah. But you have this whole caste system now in place, and the golds being the tip top, they look at themselves as gods.
And they almost are.
Yeah, they almost are. And then you have the rank above them, which is these peerless scarred, and they have to go through this trial that they call it the Institute. And the Institute, they go through this Institute to become a peerless scarred. They become a peerless scarred, and they are the ones who actually reign over the golds. And so the story moves on. Basically, this kid who is a red, he's born to the lowest form of red. He's one of the miners in Mars, and they basically fill them with full of propaganda, telling them that they are doing this for the greater good, that everybody functioning together as one benefits mankind. And they're going to save mankind by flying everybody to Mars because the Earth has been just destroyed with pollution or whatever. And so they're going to ship everybody here and there. The pioneers is what they keep calling them.
Right. Yeah. To give them some pride in what they're doing.
Exactly. To give them some pride in what they're doing. So little do they realize this entire time that Mars has already been terraformed and that they're using the H3 to terraform other planets and also fuel the spaceships and things like that. So, and the story of Red Rising is actually the story of Darrow, the hero in the book, the main character in the book, is his rise from meekness to greatness.
Right.
And it's just, it's an excellent, excellent story.
The writing.
Yeah.
Check that out. The only thing that threw me off a little bit was when they started early on in the story, when it starts talking about the dancing.
Yeah.
But that turns out it's really important.
The dancing plays into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're at the Institute or right. whatever, then, yeah, it kind of gives a little bit of explanation of it. Especially even a little bit more into the Institute. The Institute, it talks about how the Forbidden Dance or whatever is kind of like, kind of plays in or whatever, because you start seeing... I'm trying to, like, give the explanation.
I'm going to read it, so don't...
Yeah, definitely do. Like I said, don't just buy it just yet, and I'll buy that series, because it's going to be a cheap Christmas from me, by the way.
It's three so, books.
Yeah.
Right? Have you read it? Has the guy written it's anything else?
Three or? Books. He's got a fourth one coming out in January.
Okay, called in the same Island. World, the yeah. same series.
Yeah, Pierce Brown.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. Yeah, Pierce Brown is the author, and in fact, I saw a bundle on Amazon with all four books. I think, I can't remember what the price was. But
which do you like better? Kind of hate asking, don't pick a favorite, but
yeah.
if you were given the option of going back and starting from the beginning and reading either the Old Man Wars series, like you just did some of the third book, didn't
yeah.
you?
Oh, yeah. I finished the third book.
Which would you go with?
I'd go with Red Rising.
I think Scalzi's a great storyteller and plotter, and he has all this intricate world building that he does. But as far as like writing quality and the way the story flows,
yeah,
I go
with Pierce Brown.
Brown,
yeah,
he had me from page one.
Yeah, that's another series you need to read. Is
Old Man's War?
It's fun.
Yeah, it is, man. My only problem with Scalzi, and I'll get your opinion on this, Steve. He writes, and I noticed that with book two. He goes into a lot of demonstration. He goes into a lot of description about, like, the technical side of it.
Too much.
A little bit too much. Like, what, in your opinion, Stephen, what do you think about whenever an author really goes into explaining something just a little bit too heavy? Do you want to know how everything works?
It just depends. It depends on how captivated I am. Some books I read and that I really get into, I do want to know more about it. Like the Star Wars books. I want to know more about how stuff works.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, didn't Tom Clancy, I didn't read a lot of Clancy, but didn't he go into great detail about stuff?
Sometimes too much detail. Yeah, I would say sometimes too much detail is not good.
Yeah.
I would think that some things, you need to trust your readers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Tell the story you got to tell. You don't have to give me all the backstory. I'm going to be okay without it. I just think... Yeah, a lot of times it's just pointless information. You got to trust your readers and let us use our imagination on a lot of stuff. So
yeah,
yeah. I stalled out a little bit in the second book of the Old Man's War.
It gets really, really technical at one point where.
But it's worth going through to the end.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
because the end just captivated me, and it's in the third book. I just loved it from beginning to end. They're fast reads.
They are. They are very fast reads, and like I think that. Because I do audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that sucks about that is because, like, the second book, there was seriously, like, 5 minutes of, like, explaining how this whole process works. And it was all, like, technical jargon, man. And it was, like, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I almost want to fast forward. But I don't want to fast forward because then it'll, like, I'll miss something.
You missed something that's
in
there.
I know somebody else who's really, really bad about going over, setting up a scene almost. It's George R. R. Martin. Like, I don't know if... Have you read?
That's what I'm working on reading right now, Game of Thrones. He's bad about... I don't need all this.
Yeah.
Right. Trust me.
He'll set a scene, which is great, because he'll give you every intricate detail of what's going on in that room.
There's a cookbook out. We have the cookbook, Game of Thrones cookbook.
Oh, really?
That he goes into such detail with the feasts and meals and stuff that...
Yeah.
We have that thing. It's awesome.
Crazy. Yeah.
But... A little bit too much sometimes isn't necessary. Stephen King is another writer that...
That's why his books are like that.
Yeah, he goes on and on and on. I still think he's a brilliant storyteller and writer, but it's like you need an editor, dude.
You ever read a lot of his short stories?
Yeah.
The Mist was a great short story.
Shawshank.
I didn't read Shawshank. I remember the one that sticks out in my head the most is the short story The Mist. They've made a TV series about it a movie. But I liked that one a lot, and it was a short story because he did not go into all the detail.
Some of his stronger stuff is the short story.
I mean, it tells you, well, The Mist comes from, there's a military base, and they're working with interdimensional stuff. But it doesn't go into what they're doing, how they created The Mist, why they're doing it. You don't get all that. That's left to your imagination.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I like about it.
Well, they made a... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you, did I?
No, I was done.
They did a another... It's a movie, and it's straight to Netflix, called 1922.
Watch that.
Yeah.
Couple weeks
ago. And apparently, it's very Telltale Heart-ish, if you ask me. But apparently, it's a short story by Stephen King as well.
Oh.
I don't know. I've never read any Stephen King. I don't deal well with nightmares and things like that, so... Yeah, so I don't really do scary stuff. I'm pretty sure I could probably handle Stephen King's stuff, but I just haven't ever read any of it. I keep wanting to do the Dark Tower series because everybody tells me that was really
good. The Stand was a really good book.
Yeah.
And I don't think he
wanted that was a good series.
I don't think he went into a whole lot of detail in The Stand either. There was a little bit of detail here and there.
Yeah.
But it was a good book. It was just a long book. Just like the movie's like 4 episodes long.
See, that's one of those things. I read a lot when I was a lot younger.
Yeah.
And then The Stand is one of those that I've never either read or saw the movie.
Oh, really?
My wife has, and she says the movie's awesome. The
movie's awesome. The book is awesome.
And it's one of those things on my to-do list someday. I'm going to get into it
and check
it
out. One of those good versus evil stories.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's cool.
It's really cool. Dude, yeah, it's one of those that's... I think that's the first time I ever heard the song "Don't Fear the Reaper."
Yeah,
really? It was just such a great placement of the Reaper. The
M-O-O-N, that spells Reaper.
Yeah, I've never read the book, but like I said, I saw the little like TV series that they did. It was a little mini series with like Rob Lowe and the guy that was the Dauber on the TV show Coach and was the voice of
Gary Sinise is in it.
Yeah, Gary Sinise.
Well, Game of Thrones. I remember a conversation with you a while back.
Yeah.
What made you get into it? Because I think you thought it was too political for you, or
I thought it was too political at first, and like I hate politics. But then something about it, man, really, really drug me in, and I think what it was is like I got pissed off because I watched like the first season of Game of Thrones, and it was right as it came out. And, you know, spoiler alert, but if you haven't seen it now, it's like 7-8 years into it. Like, Ned Stark dies. And, like, I love Sean Bean.
Yeah.
I love him, dude. He's a freaking...
He dies in everything.
He dies in everything, you know. Died in Patriot Games. Yeah. You know?
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Dies in Lord of the Rings.
Boromir.
Yeah. 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 But, you know, and they killed Sean Bean. They killed freaking Ned Stark. And I love Ned Stark, man.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And then I think what drew me into it, and one of the things that keeps me going was, you know, I hated Tyrion Lannister. I hated all the Lannisters at first. Yeah. But then you start learning more about them, and that's what got me is, like, the character building that they do inside that is that, you know, you start hating... At first, you hate Tyrion Lannister, but as you learn more about him, you start to like him, even though he still has aspects about him that you hate, but yet he's been made this way, you know?
They were able to make him human.
Yeah.
Give him humanity where he's like, I guess my favorite character in the show.
Yeah, Jesse's too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Jamie Lannister,
that horrible, horrible, horrible person.
Yeah.
I like that dude. They actually make you care for him.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant ability on the show to make you care about them.
Yeah.
The performance is great and the writing's great, but in a book to be able to do that, because I'm sorry, that one of the reasons I had trouble, I bought that book years ago, the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I bought the novel several years ago on a recommendation of somebody I worked with, and I never could get into it. I'd start that first couple of chapters, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just because it starts out so horrific with being Bran being shoved out that window. I don't want that. But, you know, what they've managed to do with it, and I think there's going to be like a prequel series.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That the two, Benioff and...
No.
The other guy, I don't remember their name. They have some other TV show they have in the works. They're not going to be associated with it.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm actually super stoked about the prequel series. I don't know. Do you know what time frame that's supposed to take place in?
I think it's going to be during the War of the Rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
I hope so. That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, when Robert Baratheon
takes the throne.
Okay. That's what I've heard. But, you know, that could all change. That's another world, though. He has so much back history. There's another collection of novels. The name escapes me right now. Little short novellas that have come out in one hardbound book.
Yeah.
That tells the story of Egg and Dunk. You hear about them. Aegon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And about them and their adventures early on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just one of the things that I really like with the Dresden Files, there's lots and lots and lots of short stories. And, of course, I've got all the Audible versions of those. But one thing is, like, they'll be like, okay, well, this short story is edited by, like, George R. R. Martin and all like this, where he's, like, Butcher is weird, like, where Butcher and Martin and all these guys have kind of all, like, worked together for a really long time or whatever. Yeah. And it's just really cool to, like, hear, like, all these authors are just kind of, like, being like, hey, yeah, let's do a book of short stories together.
Writing community is really tight-knit, especially when you get to the level of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Rothfuss will name-drop this guy who's been writing for decades, and guy will talk about this guy and recommend. That's how a good way to find a good book is read interviews and listen to podcasts where these guys are on, and they'll lead you to other good stories.
Have you read that King Killer Chronicles by Patrick Rothfuss?
Yeah.
Steven, have you read that?
Never heard of him.
He's another one who's a lot like George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
Or even, to me, Tolkien, to where like they take forever to set up a scene.
Really does.
But, again, it's another one that where you're like, oh, okay, now I can picture everything that's going on in this room to where it's really, really good. And also, Rothfuss, like, in that King Killer Chronicles, he really kind of lingers, you know, in areas where I think it's like the first book where the kid's like homeless, you know, in that city or whatever. And you're just like, okay, dude, you've been here forever. You've set this up really well. Let's move on. Let's move the character. Let's progress the character onto something else for a little bit now.
And I love the way that story's packaged because you're set.
Oh, you like it's packaged?
Okay. I heard him. He said it.
Yeah, Patrick Rothfuss, if you're listening to this, no. The way it's set up when the character is living in a tavern and something's starting to happen and he's got this mysterious sidekick living with him. And then it goes into where he's telling the story of his childhood and how he came to be where he is now from his youth. And it's not where he's some great warrior. His family basically was gypsies that travel around and perform for people to entertain. And his dad happened upon some legend and was researching it for a song, and he got too close to the reality. It's where the separation between it being myth and reality.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The myth was real.
He was basically murdered because of that.
Right. Yeah. And the boy was lucky to live, and he goes from being an orphan by himself. He's always been a lover of knowledge. He gets to go to this another story where he goes to a special institute to learn
the name of the wind.
The name of the wind. Yeah. Magic. How to do things. Yeah. Alchemy.
Yeah.
It's a really good series.
Yeah. Which is the name of the first book? It's King Killer Chronicles. Name of the Wind is the first book. Yeah.
And he signed a mega deal. He's got Lin-Manuel Miranda working with him.
Really?
He's got a movie. He's got a deal for movies and a TV series.
I didn't know that. Really?
And he would not. And I think that the TV series is actually supposed to be set up to tell the backstory to the novels. The last rumor I heard was that the series will be, like, I think, following his mother and father before he's even born.
Yeah, okay.
Which will be neat. And then, like, the movie might be the first, the king.
Yeah. And Lin-Manuel Miranda, for those that don't know, he's the guy who basically wrote
Hamilton.
Hamilton. I want to say Jefferson.
And Moana.
Yeah. He wrote song in Force Awakens. Uh-huh. The one that plays in the cantina, that
Ujabba.
Yeah.
The funny story about how he did do that. Right when Rothfuss was getting a lot of success, I mean, he's done well for himself with writing after years and years and years of just getting to it. The first book to even be done and published by somebody, he was like a hit.
Yeah.
And he got a tweet from this guy. Hey, if you ever want to adapt it into something, I'm working music in Broadway.
hit me up.
Yeah.
And the guy, the big, great author, Rothfuss, was like, sent a tweet back patting the guy on the head. Said, yeah, I'll keep you in mind. Well, then Hamilton blows up.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, Lin-Manuel Miranda, man, Miranda. Oh, no. And he goes back and it searches and finds out that, yeah, this guy that had hit him up saying, I want to work with you.
Yeah.
Well, he's thinking, how did I answer this guy? He's like, oh, yeah, I'll keep it in mind.
Yeah.
Something every time. Well, turns out he went to him. He went to see Hamilton, got to go backstage. Said, so were you serious about wanting to? He said, oh, yeah, absolutely. If you ever, he said, I want you to be my beta reader. I want you to read my next novel that's not being published yet.
Oh, wow.
He said, so Miranda went to the meetings when they were like finalizing the deal for the movies and TV show. And he said, like, how involved do you want to be? And he said, I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up. So they're like mutual huge fans working together. So it's going to be really interesting.
That's
to
really
see.
Cool.
Yeah, I could see it really failing because it's so hard to capture a book like that, just like Game of Thrones, just like any other book.
Yeah.
But it'll be kind of exciting to see what they do with it.
What's really neat also is John Williams, as we both know, is the guy who does all the scores for Star Wars, the saga movies at least.
Yeah.
He didn't do Rogue One. That was Michael
Giacchino.
I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, so I know I butchered it probably. But anyways, Williams, he didn't like doing the music for the Cantina in the original Star Wars, even though I think he did do that one. And he didn't do the music for Jabba's Palace in Return of the Jedi. He feels like he can't really write that music all that well, so he actually sought out, or he told J.J. Abrams about it, and J.J. was like, I got the perfect guy, because Lin-Manuel Miranda did basically the same thing, told J.J. Abrams, look, if you need any music for Star Wars, let me know, I'm a huge fan. And then J.J. was like, well, Williams doesn't want to do this song, so you want to do the Cantina song, basically? And then kind of the same thing happened, except for J.J. Abrams is actually on the song, that Ujaba or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing is...
He's a dude that does a Ujaba.
The cool thing, and one of the reasons Lin-Manuel Miranda is so important for a project like this is because music is central to
King's
Chronicles. It is, his life.
Yeah, in the book, I agree with you 110%. Music makes a movie.
Yeah.
But in the actual book that we're talking about here, though, the Kingkiller Chronicles, he does, it's like he's a bard, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, it is central to that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's and one thing that you left off that I really thought was really interesting is book one is the first day of him telling his life story to this. I can't remember what they call him, but he's a guy that goes. He's like a scribe that goes around. And he's there interviewing him.
Chronicler or something.
Yeah, you're like a chronicler or whatever. And then so book two is day two of him. He told him he'd talk to him for 3 days and tell him his life story in 3 days. So day one is him. Giving him the first day, and then day two is the second book, and so I'm really, really. They have 2.5. I don't know if you've read that one.
No,
I haven't either. But they do have a 2.5. I'm still waiting on book three. I don't know when the devil that's going to be out.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah,
the thing is, he worked on the first two books. I mean, he was one of those guys that went to college and stayed in college, and then stayed. He kept writing, and he was teaching and stuff like that. And finally, he sent the book to the right people that Doug kind of got what he was going at. Because you tell me, there's no, for sword and sorcery or fantasy book, there's no big badass warrior that's going to be central to the thing. No, he's a guy he's a little guy, red hair, that, he likes to sing and play his lute.
Yeah. I was gonna tell you the publisher, but I'm waiting on my Audible to pull up.
It's DAW/ Penguin Books.
Oh, Penguin.
And
Penguin,
one of the reasons he went with this is because they had Tad Williams, who's another guy I want to read. I've never read his books. He's got the Memory, Sorrow, Thorn series or something like that. That's supposed to be pretty awesome. That George R. R. Martin pretty much copied his style of breaking it up by points of view.
Yeah.
So to tie it all together, how many people kind of wear their influences on their sleeve, Rothfuss went with this publisher because of Tad Williams and George R. R. Martin when he decided to set out and write his big fantasy book because he was
I guess he got tired of working. He'd been a screenwriter predominantly, mm-hmm. you know, Beauty and the Beast. And he pretty much tried to write an unfilmable fantasy novel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was never going to end.
I didn't know he was a screenwriter beforehand.
It was supposed to have been a trilogy.
Really?
And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. It's crazy.
This is Audible.
Yeah, that's Patrick. Name of the Land, dude. Oh, that's such a great book, man. Sorry, Steven. Okay. We're just giving you a list of books that you
know. I've been writing them. It's overwhelming. Yeah. I've been busy for a while.
It can be overwhelming when you start thinking about everything
you want to hit pause on the Game of Thrones series and get caught up on this stuff.
No.
Finish Game of Thrones first,
man. I'm still on book one.
Watching the series.
Oh, no, I'm going to finish the series.
Well, I will tell you, the Name of the Wind series, they are thick books. They are long, as
the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because just...
He loves his words.
Yeah.
If you've ever heard him interviewed, he loves his words when he's talking.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a...
Well, just to give you an idea, the first book for audiobook is 27 hours of audio.
Good Lord.
It's not as long as Red Storm Rising, though. Red Storm Rising was 40 hours of audio, man.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a big book.
That was a big book. That was a great book, though. That was an awesome book. That's one of those, like, I don't know. Have you ever read Red Storm Rising?
Don't think so.
I know Steven has, because you turned me on to it. Yeah. But it's one of those that... It's, you know, about World War III, basically.
Tom Clancy. Yeah, it doesn't follow Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
It was his first non-Jack Ryan book.
It's a very good standalone. It's about
World War III lighting off. What originally started oil, wasn't it?
It was oil, and it was the Russians. It sets it so real-worldly because, like, a terrorist group goes in and destroys a large Russian
refining plant.
Refinery. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think it's like a third or even more of their oil output per year. Yeah. So their
economy's dying. Yeah. So they go and take it.
Yeah.
And the strategic moves they do to do it makes you go, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder how
well we have those places defended because their names you'll think of and like, okay, yeah, I know there's a military base there. And
oh, yeah.
Like wow, those are really peaceful people.
Yeah.
And they just got took out by the Soviet Army because the Soviet Army needed that spot.
Like the air base at Reykjavik. Like we have a huge air base
Reykjavik, Iceland.
Yeah.
Amphibious assault. It makes perfect sense how they do it. And you're like, wow. Oh, okay. And then, of course, the Americans and everybody else are caught short of equipment in Europe because they were just supposed to slow it down for the other people to come across the sea. Well, now the Russians have Reykjavik, which basically closes the Atlantic because you got to go right by Iceland to get to Europe.
Yeah.
And so it's a good book, man. And one page you'll be 900 foot under the ocean on a Los Angeles attack sub.
Yeah.
And then the next page you're sitting on M1 tank in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we got fighting positions dug. We'll be here about 5 minutes. Then we're going to fall back 3 miles to the next position because you're just trying to slow the Soviet army down because there's so many more of them.
Yeah. That's one that I keep wishing that they'd do a movie of.
I don't know if you could do a movie. It's so broad scale.
Yeah.
Man, I'm turning into more of a fan of if they're going to do it and do it right, forget the movie.
Do the long series.
Yeah. Let it breathe. Let it have character development. Let the story.
It would be the perfect Netflix only 10-episode season movie because there's a lot of other stuff that goes in with it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Home front stuff.
Well, yeah, and I could see them actually doing that in like one, just like a standoff, just a standalone, like one season of it. They could easily do that with like 10 episodes or something like
partisan
that.
Partisan fighting, you know, Europe.
Dude, it's a great, great book.
Yeah.
Adding it to my long list.
I know.
I've read it like 3 times, 4 times.
Yeah. I've tried to keep a list. Like, I want to read this, and then I want to read this next.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I finished this, and then Dave had said Ready Player One, and another guy said Ready Player One, so I jumped on that, and then that kind of led me into something else. Then I jumped on the Scalzi books, and then that's kind of falling naturally into this Red Rising.
Well, you'll read Red Storm Rising.
That kind of, maybe.
And then you'll end up reading Red Phoenix,
okay,
which is Korean War.
Red Phoenix was good.
It's Larry Bond. It's not.
It got really, really, really political. Yeah. And to me, like, political talk is almost like as bad as the technical stuff from like sci-fi. But if you power through it, it's still really good though. Yeah.
If you could find somebody that had gone through and excised those parts for you.
If you could mark them out, it'd be awesome.
The only problem is that what was it? Red Phoenix? That's the name of it, right?
Red Phoenix is the second Korean War when the Korean War heats back up. Yeah.
If you cut out all the political stuff, it'd be like the
Russians and Koreans. So this kind of maybe I should read these. It's kind of timely.
That
up. That's exactly
the real world as it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and man, every time something like flares up with Russia nowadays, someone's just like, oh.
Red Storm, right? Well, they talk about all their troops and stuff massing on the Ukrainian border and all that other stuff. And you're like, holy crap, I've read this before.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh. And then they did the same thing. It's like, oh, it's just war games. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's always war games.
It's always war games. That's why we have 10,000 tanks on the eastern German border. Of course.
Did y'all see about the guy, the North Korean soldier that had defected?
Did you see the video of it?
Yeah.
They showed black and it's black and white, but it's like a heat signature video of it. I
didn't see that, no.
Well, they shot the dude, and when they're dragging him across the border, you see the blood trail where the dude, he was like seriously shot.
Well, I saw the video from the hospital.
No, yeah.
Did you see what they were pulling out
of him? All the tapeworms and stuff because of the dye.
Well, see, there's even more than that because they actually have video of like the Jeep that he stole like driving up to the border and then he crashes the Jeep and then they actually have footage of him getting out of the Jeep and running.
Yeah.
And the Korean soldiers like shooting North Korean soldiers like shooting at him and dude.
Well, we know what happened like in the next couple of days, right?
His family got killed.
All the soldiers along the DMZ, the border there, they've been withdrawn. All of them.
Oh, really?
All of them, and been replaced with new soldiers because they were unable to.
Well, I heard that the UN got really, really upset with that because you're not supposed to like enter into the demilitarized zone, I guess, or something.
One
like
of them
that.
Crossed the border. Did you seen that picture of the North Korean soldier over the border into South Korea chasing this guy? Right. And then they shot across the border into South Korea too. And I read a story where that is a violation of the armistice is to shoot towards the border.
Oh, yeah.
And to shoot into this guy, they're saying, well, they have bullets were crossing the border.
Well, hopefully South Korea's head leaders are
right. Yeah. I think it is because Pyongyang or whatever it is in range of like, 100,000 artillery pieces, they say.
Oh, yeah. Like 20 million people would die. Yeah, if the shooting war started, 20 million people could be dead in
a matter of hours because they would just start shelling Pyongyang or whatever it is.
That's another one that gets kind of creepy is that Red Phoenix because, one of the. And spoiler alert. one of the tactics that they say that the North Koreans use in that is a tunnel underneath the DMZ. Yeah, and I can't remember the...
That's a real-world tactic, too. Have you ever read about the tunnels they've uncovered?
Yeah.
Like, got that between the United States and Mexico.
Yeah, well, I'm talking... Yeah. In real life, look it up. Some of them are, like, as wide as multi-lane highways.
Really?
Yeah.
To move tanks into the south.
Oh, wow.
And they're dug under the border behind the U.S. positions, and there's, like, 6 foot of ground above these ramps they have built. They're 6 foot from coming above the ground. All they do is blow them, and they're out.
Yeah.
And they said they have, supposedly there was tanks stored in a few of these, like 30, 40 tanks. And there's 6 feet under the ground on the other side of the border where all they have to do is set the charges and they're out.
Yeah. it's pretty crazy, dude. Like, stuff like that. It's like, great books. Kind of creepy whenever you think about it in the real world. Like,
real world.
Yeah.
I want to keep it in my entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, media. Yeah.
Red Phoenix is good if you don't mind turning the pages. Where it says, back in Washington, D.C., just start turning.
Yeah.
DMZ, Alpha Company, Second Marines, then, start reading there.
I'm just trying to remember the name of the outpost that they spend a lot of time at that gets overrun or whatever, and I can't remember the name
of it. It's just some hilltop. It's some army platoon. It's hilltop so-and-so, and they sit there and fight off the Korean army, and the Korean army says, we'll just go around them, and they just sit there and watch the troops like ants going around their hill, and they're... Okay.
But yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, man. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today.
I think so. I brought a whole list of things to bring up if we question you. I'll save these for another night.
Yeah, save those for the next one then. Yeah.
Because I didn't know so we have it in us.
Yeah, what we don't use today, we'll just build up for the next one.
Build up for the next one. So. And I'll start writing down stuff to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He did have a list.
Didn't even tap into it. Man, no, now I feel kind of bad.
No.
Okay.
I was just, this was just in case we kind of stalled out.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to just keep adding to it. Just random. These are just random wacky questions.
See, I can talk people's ears off about books, and I'll wind up giving you like a list of like 30 books.
We went into a lot of, we're Texas because guns came up.
Yeah.
That's going to sound really weird to some people. In
tamales came up.
Tamales.
That's the interesting part right there. Tamales.
Yeah. We hit, and then serial killer part.
Yeah.
got a little dark and depressing there.
Yeah.
But it's.
That's why times. I brought up books, because I felt like I had to lighten it up. With oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit. I'm going to go home and have nightmares. I don't. Yeah, that kind of stuff. There's websites devoted to, like, like an encyclopedia of serial killers and like John Wayne Gacy's great history. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
And you read this guy's story and like, oh gosh. Kind of like that's why I don't know if I can watch this Mindhunter series, because once I start knowing about these people, it just gives me the
heebie-jeebies.
And I don't like, I know the world's full of danger, but I'd like to live in my little cocoon of fantasy and fun.
That's why.
Just be prepared for it. But
that's why I spend my time reading fantasy books and Star Wars and stuff like that, man, because like it's my escape. And it's the same thing with, you know, other outlets like football or whatever. And when we start bringing politics and things like that into it, I don't want to associate with it anymore. And it's like, I still love football. I've watched every Sunday, but yeah, I don't bring your politics into my stuff. I don't care. I want to escape. I don't want to get more immersed into it. But I think that's going to do it. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
I'm Steve.
Signing off.
Adios.
Later. Burp. Burp, burp. Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
Yeah. It's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real. Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one Dave.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm Texan. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go. Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Yeah.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Now, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
Listen, by the way, spoilers.
Hey.
I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Oh, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba, the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gutter. No, won't admit defeat, though. It's not
Boy, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God. Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi, Run DMC.
Han, Luke, Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try. Well,
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it.
Yeah. But, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, the wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.
This is a song all about drinking. Hi-ya, love you with me.
see and found what we wanted to be. And then we always had to be where we are in our lives. But then you were the one, the only one who lived my life. The one who dragged me down, who dragged me down. We lost the high, 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 high. High, 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 high. Love you, we said high, 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 high. And crash me into my mind. Your cover's blown again. Just close your eyes, you'll be alright. You'll get some loneliness, some confidence, right up on there. The scars and leaves of you that you was constantly for your past. But aye, 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 aye. Aye, 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 aye. Love you, it's dead. Aye, 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 aye. Speeds in the rest of your life. It's strong but you weak, cause you won't even put up a fight. I wish you all the best, I wish you many happy days. I hope you'll turn around and live your life a better way. But aye, 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 aye.